Tuesday the 30th of October, Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, Rabbi Matityahu Lauren. Simone Taro, the Torah Noach learned.
Good Chodesh. The title of the Shia, the Torah that Noach learned. Learned, not learned, it's incorrect on your sign, learned. If you look in the first printed number one on the sheet, Kol Adahima Hatahira Tikaslo, Tikaslo Chor. The Shvorku commanded Noach to take from the behemoth Hatahira, Shiva Shiva, seven of these, Ishvi Ishtoi, but Mina Behema Sheloi Tahira, he, Shnayim Ishvi Ishtoi. It's from the behemoths which were not Tahir, so he was commanded to take two of each. So Rashi in Chumash says an interesting thing. Rashi says, Hatahira. What does it mean, Noach was commanded to take a behema Hatahira? How do we translate the word Tahira? So presumably Tahira is usually translated as pure in terms of Tumah and Tahor. But says Rashi, Hatahira, Hasida liyos Tahira li Yisrael, something which would in the future be Tahir to Yisrael. Presumably means kosher. In the future, when the Torah would already be given, there'd be such a concept as animals which are Tahir and kosher, and animals which are not kosher. Noach was commanded to take a behemoth which would in the future be Tahir. Lombadnu shalomad Noach Torah. And that teaches us, says Rashi, that Noach must have learned Torah. Very cryptic statement that Rashi says, and the fortune there, the Mizrahi saying, that the chat in Rashi is that otherwise, if Noach had not learned Torah, so how would Noach know what is a behemoth HaTorah? It must be that Noach sat and learned Torah. Now, where Noach sat and learned Torah, in which yeshiva, which kollel, I'm not sure. But Rashi tells us that Noach learned Torah. That is the way that Noach knew whether an animal was kosher or not kosher. And in fact, I saw in a particular sefer he brings down from the Rekeach al HaTorah. I looked for it in the sefer Rekeach and I couldn't find it, but it's quoted b'shem of the Rekeach. But if you look in the word HaTorah, it's spelt with a vav, HaTorah. You don't need to spell the word with a vav in the middle. And he says, the Rekeach says the vav is meramis to the number 6, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu handed over to Noach 6 simonim to identify what a kosher animal was. The first one is livdeik b'kanaim, to check the horns, to see if there's horns on the animal. The second one is to check the teeth. We'll explain all these ones in a minute. The third one was to check whether it's ma'ale geira, which is what we're more familiar with. Ma'ale geira means translated as chewing the cud, and we'll explain what that means later. To check whether it was shaitar shasa, which means that it has split hooves. The fifth one was to see the gestation period that this animal has, the pregnancy period, how long it takes. That's another way of checking. And the sixth one is not written in the Rekeach. It's missed out. In the Ketav Yad of the Rekeach, it got missed out. So therefore, we don't know what exactly he was referring to. So there are at least 5 simonim. Now, that's a bit strange, because we're more familiar with there being 2 simonim. Everybody knows from the Tzukim, which I've quoted. If you just jump in a few numbers, you'll see number 5 and number 6. The Tzukim in Sefer Vayikra and the Tzukim in Sefer Dvorim tell us exactly the simonim through which a person can identify a kosher animal. Mafreset Kasa and Sheitas Shesa, if it's got split hooves. Or Malas Geira. Malas Geira is if it chews the cud. So the subject of the Shia is to understand a little bit about these simonim. Now, as a side point, it's very interesting that Rashi tells us that Noach learned Torah in order to be able to identify these animals. Because there is a famous Chazal, which is quoted in Rashi, Ala Torah, before the Rashi we learned just now, the Gemara in Zevachim, where the Gemara in Zevachim says that Noach took the animals, the Hevivam Lifnei HaTeva, he put them in front of the Teva, and the ones which the Teva accepted, he knew were kosher. And the Mefarshim say, one of the Mefarshim says it means that the ones which the Teva accepted when they came in sevens, he knew were Tahira, and the ones which the Teva accepted only when they came in twos, he knew from there were Tomei. So that Gemara seems to contradict what Rashi is saying. Why does Rashi need to be mechadish to us a new idea, melamed she lomad nerech teira, in order to determine which animals were kosher, when there was a mefurish of Gemara, which seems to say that he did some kind of miraculous thing of bringing them in front of the teva, and the teva accepted them or rejected them, and that's how he knew whether they were kosher or not. So there are one or two tirutim that are said by the Rishonim, the Chizkuni and the Da'at the Kenim, but I'm not going to mention them because they're difficult to fit in with the Gemara itself, and there's a shadow in the Loshon of the Gemara and in the Gizz of the Gemara. So if you want to look up a couple of tirutim, then look at the Da'at the Kenim and the Chizkuni on that pasuk where it says Rashi says that Noach learned Torah. But one of the answers which does seem to be able to be understood is the answer of the Marsha. Again, what's the question? The question is, why did Rashi mechadish to us that Noach learned Torah? Surely the Gemara says that he didn't need to. The Gemara doesn't say he needed to learn Torah. The Gemara said the Teva did the job for him. So Marsha says a very simple Torah. It's quite a long Marsha, but he says a very simple Torah. That's true when we're talking about what actually happened. Lemaisa, later on, when Noach brought the animals to the Teva, so then it's either true that the Teva rejected them or accepted them, and from that he knew which ones were kosher. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the tzivui right at the beginning, as we learned in the first item on the page, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving the command to Noach, go and take a behema tahira, take seven of them, and from behema tamea take two of them. Well, how did Noach know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was talking about? The words tahira and tamea have no meaning unless you have learned Torah, says the Marsha, because it wasn't in Noach's vocabulary. It wouldn't have been in Noach's vocabulary what Torah and Tumea is, because the Torah hadn't been given at that time, and all animals were the same. You couldn't eat any animals at that time. Only after the marble were you allowed to eat animals. So, in order for Noach to be able to understand what the Kodesh Baruch Hu was talking about when he said Torah and Tumea, it must be that Noach had some knowledge of what the word meant, and what's that? How did that come? That came from learning Torah. That's what the Marshal says, what the Pshat is in Rashi. And it's not a contradiction, therefore, to the Gemara, where the Gemara says that the Maisa, when it happened, Bashat Maisa, when the animals had to come into the Teva, it says over there that the Teva either accepted them or rejected them. That is actually what happened, the Maisa. Now, why did it need an ace like that? It's a different kasha. But to resolve this Rashi with the Gemara, that Marshal is an easily understood explanation. Now, this Torah that Noach learned, identifying the simonim of a behemoth. If you look in the Rambam, number 3 on the sheet, the Rambam says in the beginning of Hilchos Ma'akolat HaSurek, Mitzvah Tarsay, Leida HaSimonim Shemavginim Bohem, Bein Behemoth, V'chaye, V'oif, V'dogim, V'chagovim, Shemutel Ochlon, V'bein She'en Mutel Ochlon. It's a Mitzvah Tarsay, says the Rambam, to know the simonim, through which one can identify which behemoths, chayas and oibis and dogim and chagovim, locusts, which are kosher to eat, and which ones are not kosher to eat. So according to the Rambam, according to simple reading of the Rambam, there is a mitzvah tasei, like any other mitzvah, to get up in the morning and put on tefillin, or take lulu, or any other mitzvah there is in the Torah to do. According to the Rambam, there's a mitzvah to know. So coming to the Shia now, we are now being oisik in a mitzvah, besides the mitzvah of limud Torah by itself, we're now actually being oisik in a mitzvah, according to many mafarshim in the Rambam, of learning the simonim of a how to identify a kosher animal. The separate mitzvah tasei on top of the mitzvah of limud Torah is a mitzvah to know, according to the Rambam, the way many mafarshim learn, to know the simonim. And the Rambam quotes a pasuk on the second line of number 3, which is, I quoted it in full with the nekudas in number 4. You have to be able to distinguish between behema hatahira and a tamei, a kosher one and a non-kosher one. Rebein ha'oif ha'tomei la'tohu. Ve'lois v'shakzu es nashay seichem ba'behema v'oif ha'tomei. You shouldn't contaminate your neshamas with behemoth and oif ha'tomei and anything which is tumei ta'adam, anything which goes on the ground, asher dalti lochem l'tomei. So according to the Rambam's understanding of this pasuk, which is actually seemingly based on a Torah Kohanim, which says, I haven't quoted it here, Loi bulvad hashoina elo shetehe yodea umaki uboki bohem, says the Torah Kohanim. It's not simply that you know. Everybody learns in Cheda, Maslis Parasa, and Malagera. You have to be yodea uboki bohem. You have to really know. So you have to go to a zoo, or you have to go to a farm, and you have to understand, and I talked about it last week, and I went and had a look, to see some of the things. Of the Maslis Parasa, and Malagera didn't actually see at the time, Shatamaisa. But according to in the literal understanding of the Rambam Tirus Kohenim, there is a mitzvah safei to know these simonim. So you might ask, well, why is there such a mitzvah safei? Bishleimer, if you want to be able to eat the animals, we have to be able to identify it as kosher or not kosher. If you don't want to be able to eat it, so why do you have to know what the simonim are? So in fact, there are some Achrayim who learn like that. Some learn, like Baz and others learn, but there's no mitzvah to simply know the simonim. There's a mitzvah. If you want to be able to eat a kosher animal, you have to be able to identify it. But if you don't want to, then there's no specific mitzvah. However, there are, as I mentioned, Achrayim who learn in the Rambam, clearly there's a mitzvah state to know these simonim. A possible reason why there is a mitzvah to know it, even if you don't want to eat it, is suggested, it's based on a Maariv Chayis in Chulin Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph, where we see the Gemara over there tells us that there's never ever been any animal discovered where we find in the Torah, if you look in the Pesukim in number 5 and number 6 over there, it tells us which animals are Matzah Chasa and not Maale Geira, and they've got one simon and haven't got the other simon. There have never ever been any animals discovered which do not fit in with these klalim, with these rules that the Torah have said. So therefore, it's a tremendous chizuk in Emunah, and in fact, the Gemara says, it teaches that the Torah is min ha-shamayim. Because how can anybody write a Torah and make a very broad statement like that, that these are the only animals where you will find where it has one simon and not the other simon? How can anybody know that? How can any person know that? It must be HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote the Torah. It's a rather raya the actual Gemara brings, not just from the Kiruv Seminar, it's actually brought in the Gemara. It's a raya to him in Hashemayim, because nobody else could make, because if you say such a statement and then it's found out to be wrong, so then you call into question your whole authorship, the whole book. So if someone can write a statement like that, it must be that they are confident. Who can say such a thing? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what are these Simoni Tara? So the Simoni Tara, one is Machis Parasa, which is has a split tooth. And even though, if you look in the Pesukim, in number 5 and number 6, it says, and it goes through these simonim afresses parasha shisat shtesa, and also in number 6 as well, it only mentions behemoth. So you might think, well, the way of identifying behemoth is through these simonim. What about chayas? What's the difference between a behemoth and a chaya? How do we translate a behemoth and a chaya? So normally we would say a behemoth is a domesticated animal and a chaya is a wild animal. It's a fairly rough definition as to what's the difference between a behemoth. So for example, a cow is a, well, you wouldn't call it domesticated, but it's a calmer sort of animal, and a chaya, such as a deer, is something that lives out in the wild. It's a very rough definition. There are different definitions of what a chaya, how to distinguish between a chaya and a behemoth, but that's a different shir. Here we're talking about the first stage, which is the distinction between kosher and not kosher. What does it mean, male geira, to chew the cud? What does chewing the cud mean? So what it means is that the animal, when it eats its food very quickly, takes it down into its stomach, and then later on it comes up again, and the animal, when it has time later on, is able to digest it. And why is it like that? If you look at number 7, this is a quote from the Kolbe. Kolbe is one of the Rishonim, and the Kolbe tells us a very interesting thing. Number 7, Zois Behema. Sorry, Simonim behema v'chaya ha'necheres mufroshin b'toyla. The Simonim of a behema and a chaya, which are edible, which are mutter to eat, are mufroshin b'toyla. Behem shnai, there are two Simonim. My friend is Pasko, or Ma'ale Geira. The klal, l'kol shehi Ma'ale Geira, she'ein lo she'nayin b'lechi ha'elyeh. Anything which is Ma'ale Geira, which has to chew the cud and bring up the food and regurgitate it, it doesn't have teeth in the top level, top jaw. The fish Hashem Yisbarach Sholit Ba'ilama Yisbarach Shemoy. For Hatzvoy Tirsoy. Hashem Baruch Hu, who is Sholit in the world, he rules the world. He created the natures and the characteristics of animals and everything in the Bria as he wanted. Umibnesh Ein Lahem Shinayim Mitchayim V'Din Oifamach Or Kafiyat Tayyus. And because these particular animals, the ones that we find in Ma'ale Geira, why are they Ma'ale Geira? Because they don't have teeth in the top jaw. Why? And therefore, hichin lohem halat geira, the kod shayla tochnoi, hater, hade, kasi hamlevich, in order that the malas geira can chew up the food for them.
Now the process of regurgitating later on is able to chew the food, because they haven't got teeth in the top level of their jaw which could be used to chew up the food. Now why is that? Why make it like that? Why do they not have teeth in the top level? There's the cold bush. Why did it have to be that it has doesn't have the absence of shinaim lamalo? Because the food of these animals is from grass and they go up trees in the forest. And they haven't got time to chew properly at the time of the achila. And they haven't got time to chew everything up there because other animals are going to come and attack them, or it's cold, or it's hot, or any other reason why they haven't got time to chew their food. Says the cowboy. Therefore, quickly, what the animal does is to chuck as much as it can at the time of the achila. And then it gathers it together inside a specific place in its stomach with a minimal amount of chewing. Obviously there has to be a bit of chewing to break it down into smaller parts to get down the throat into the down the food pipe into its stomach. So it needs a small amount of chewing. When it has a rest in the afternoon or at night time, so then it regurgitates the food and grinds it all up in its mouth, and by then it doesn't need to have very very strong teeth in order to do that, because it's been inside the stomach and there's digestive juices inside which digest up the food inside, and then it comes up again later on. That's why it doesn't need teeth at the top. It would be superfluous, because the whole maxim that this animal finds itself in the fields and in the forest, it can't eat slowly, it has to eat very, very quickly. So it cups as much as it can, swallows it down, and then comes and regurgitates it later. When it's got time later on, then it chews it up. Says the cowboy in the last paragraph. But okay, royal lawyer, fitting for us to take him. Abbas Hashem Oifanu, Bochar Bonu. So he spoke because of his love of us, he chose us. But not Sam Lonu, Elo HaSimonim. And he gave us these simonim to identify kosher animals, which make kosher animals. The fee, Shehein Maidin, Umeidin, Shehein Elo HaMinim Dosim. Because these simonim testify that these particular animals that have these simonim are not Doris. What does Doris mean? They're not animals of prey. They don't go jumping on other animals to eat them. Velaitosim, again, they don't tear other animals. She'ein mazoinu min habosah. And it shows us that these animals that have these simonim in Malas Gera are not, and also they got cloven split hooves as well, and steadies them on the ground. They're not animals that jump around cuffing other animals. And it shows us that their food is not mainly from bosah. She'tzoch libroi to v'litroi, k'moy ari v'hadoi v'hanomet. Like for example, a lion, and a bear, and a tiger. The fikach gam ein lohen klei adrisa. That's why they don't have the klei adrisa, things that would enable them to be animals of prey. She'ein atiponaim shalahem chadim. They haven't got sharp nails. Upasusein chalukos and tzedukos, and they've got split hooves. Kefiat tzorich lehiluchon, so they can walk slowly. The kapit ladalik b'horim v'gvoit, simply so they can trot around in the mountains and the forest and things like that. So therefore, these simonim are symptomatic of animals that are calm and they're not doyous. Ube'emet, l'chid chibosenu, hilchak Hashem yisparach mezen yisenu min ha-minim ha-doyous in ba'atosin. Rosh Baruch Hu, because of his ava of Klal Yisrael, he kept us away from the animals which are doyous. Bali eret, and they're full of poison, the fisha ha-dovi, the rubba vaday, she-ha-mozoin mahapech ha-teva ha-nizoin. You are what you eat, says the whole boy. And therefore, these animals whose teva and the characteristics is to be doris and chap other animals, that whole kind of violent teva is what Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to keep us away from. And Moshe, the tivoy, it would go into your nature. If you were to consume such animals, it would go into your nature, into your personality. And this is not suitable and fitting for the Ovdei Hashem that we should be violent people. So the tremendous limud that the cowboy is telling us that lies behind the simonim of kosher animals, to keep us away from violence, because a person consumes things which are violent, that would be mahatach his teva, would convert his teva and his characteristics into such a thing. be mashpia on him. Now, which animals are actually kosher? So we saw in the Psukim, brought down number 5 and number 6, there are a number of names of animals which are mentioned there. So some of them we know, and some of them we don't know. So a shayr is mentioned. Shayr is an ox, or a cow in the female. Say kvosim, say izim, sheep, goats, those are the three types of behema which are mutter. Cow, and goat, and sheep. Chayus. In the list of chayus, which are mutter, the Torah mentions some interesting animals, but we don't really know what they are. Look in number 6, the second pasuk in number 6. It says over there, Ayol, Utsevi, V'yachmor, V'akoi, V'dishoi, V'sa'oi, V'zome. So the Mephoshim tell us that we don't know what any of these things really are, for sure, except the three. The three is a deer. An ayol, possibly the type of deer, unclear what it is. Some suggest other explanations for the different animals, but the halacha of the ma'aseh is we only really know of the chayas, of the seven chayas that are listed there, we only really know what a tzvi actually is, a deer. The deer is kosher. So the three behemoths and seven chayas, 10 kosher animals that the Torah lists in total. Now, if the Torah lists the kosher animals, so why does the Torah have to give simonim of ma'al geira and ma'aseh parasa? Why does it have to tell us that, you know, a kosher animal is one which has split hooves and chews the cud? And then go on to list all the animals. What's the point of listing the animals? You have the simon, so go and check for yourself. So, different answers are given. But the simplest answer is that if you don't know, like in a situation that we are, you don't know what the translation or how to identify the 10 animals which the Torah actually lists, if you don't know what they are, so then you can use the crown, you can use the simonim. So you find yourself in the desert one day and you see this animal comes in front of you and you've never seen a picture of it before, you've never seen such an animal before, you check the simonim. Is it Ma'al Geira? Is it Mafis Pan? Yeah, but then it's fine, it's kosher. According to the halacha, according to the Torah, it's mutter. So therefore, the Torah gave us the crown as well as giving us the simonim. As well as giving us the names of the animals. But what about the other way around? Why did the Torah therefore need to give us any of the animals? Just give us the klal, and you don't need to give the names of the animal. So there are a couple of tirutz and said there. One of them is from the Chasam Sofer in Tshuvas, Yerodea Ayin Dalad. Have a look there, that's one. And the other one, another answer is in the Malbim, in Parshas Re. I'm not going to go into the answers because they're quite lengthy. Okay, there is one of the simonim we mentioned just now, besides the two which are mentioned in the Torah, is the teeth of the animal. We learned just now that an animal which is kosher will not have teeth in the upper jaw. So we have to qualify that a little bit. What does it mean that they won't have teeth in the upper jaw? It means they don't have cutting teeth, which I think are called incisors, is that correct? Yeah, that wasn't right. So they don't have those types of teeth for the reason I've explained before. And therefore, since they don't have those teeth, they have to be Ma'al Geira in order to chew up their food later on. But they do have the other type of teeth, grinding teeth, which are, I think, called molars in the mouth. They do have them in the upper jaw and the lower jaw as well. So when we say that a kosher animal won't have teeth in the upper jaw, it's referring to the sharp teeth which are used for cutting. Now, why do we have to have this simon? What's the necessity of having this simon about? The answer is because if you have an animal in front of you and you don't know what this animal is, you don't have to wait for it to be Ma'al Geira. Ma'al Geira takes a certain amount of time, could be a few hours, and you want to eat this animal now. So you don't have to wait for it to be Ma'al Geira. Just check in the upper jaw. Does it have teeth there, sharp teeth there or not? If it doesn't have sharp teeth, then you know that it must be Ma'al Geira. If it doesn't have sharp teeth, so how on earth does it digest its food? It must be that it's Ma'al Geira. Now, there is another simon, which the Gemara mentions, which is the horns of an animal. Now, it's a shayla how you learn the Gemara. It's Gemara Nida Daf Nun Aleph Omid Beis. And it says there that if an animal has horns, then it has hooves, meaning split hooves. So therefore, if you see an animal has horns, you also know it's kosher as well. In other words, you don't have to check the hooves. Because Chazal are telling us that if it has horns, then it has hooves. Rashi says, "Ein kanaim elo lebehemo v'chaya tohira." You only find horns on a behemo v'chaya tohira. So horns is another simon. So the question is asked again: So why not have one simon, which is horns? And then you don't need to know about the other simon, because if it has horns, then it has split hooves. If it has split hooves, then it's also Malagera as well, we know, except the Chazir, right? Which is the only exception that has split hooves, but doesn't. It's not Malagera. So therefore, why don't you just have one simon, which is horns? Sorry? Oh, okay. So the answer is, some animals don't have horns. Okay. No, they're working the other way around. If it has horns, then you know it's kosher. Presumably it means if it doesn't have horns, then not kosher. But it's unclear exactly what this simon is. But the Rekeach says that some animals don't get horns until they're older. They don't grow until they're older. So you want to be able to eat a behemoth when it's young. You don't want to wait till it's 25 years old and then find out that it's kosher. So therefore, the simonim of Malei Geira and Matzis Parasa are useful at the early stages of the life of the animal. Now, this halakha, supposedly, that an animal which is tomei doesn't have horns, is a bit questionable. Because, in other words, this understanding, although Rashi clearly says it, but some Rishonim argue on it. And there's an interesting halakha, which we're probably familiar with from a few weeks ago. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch says, and it's talking about Hilchas Shofar, says that a shofar has to come from a behema tohoit, from an animal which is tohoit, not an animal which is tomei. So you see, what do you see? So you see, there must be animals which are not kosher that have horns. Okay, there are 8 or 9 different tiruksim which I said for that to resolve that. But the pashas would seem to be that there are animals which are not kosher that do have horns. So therefore, it's a bit difficult. The place can say you can't rely on the simon of horns to determine whether an animal is kosher or not. Now, the truth is that there are kosher animals nowadays, sheep, for example, that don't have horns. The swan bring down, there's a breed of sheep which is very common here in England. It's called, from what I saw in Swarm, so don't quote me, it's called a Leicester sheep, which is based, its origin, so to speak, is around Leicester in England. So this, they say origin, but its ancestry goes back to that area. And they don't seem to have horns. And now everyone knows that a sheep is kosher, but this particular sheep doesn't have horns. And many of the sheep, apparently, in this country are bred from such a sheep. However, the Poskim say, the Pritera says, Mufurish, that as long as the animal is Male Geira Mafis Parasa, whether it's having horns, doesn't have horns, it's not Ma'akas, and therefore, you don't have to worry about the sheep that don't have horns. Now, I want to say, we started 1 minute late, so I'm just going to go over 1 minute. Two other points which are very important. The Gemara tells us, and it's brought down in Halacha, that two simonim regarding the milk of kosher animals. The milk of a kosher animal is white. The milk of a non-kosher animal, the Lashon the Gemara says, is yorik. Yorik is translated as green, but it doesn't really mean that. It means yellowish, and it doesn't mean bright yellow. It means a yellow tinge. It has a yellow tinge to it. Like, for example, in Hilchos Mila, yorik, a baby, not mother baby, if it's yorik, also means not green, but yellowish. So too, in here, it means a yellowish type of tinge to the milk. So therefore, if you see a behemoth and it produces milk, and the milk is white, so then you know it's from a kosher. You know that it's a way of that identifying that the behemoth is kosher. If that milk has a greenish or yellowish sort of tinge to it, so then it's a simon that the behemoth in front of you that's coming from is not kosher. Another simon regarding milk is that milk from a kosher animal turns into butter and into cheese, whereas milk from a non-kosher animal does not turn into butter and cheese. So therefore, if you are able to turn some milk into cheese, you know that it must have come from a kosher animal, and therefore that's another way of identifying whether an animal is kosher. The final point is, on top of all these halachas of the simonim which are mufurish in the Torah, there is another very important issue which is called the issue of mesorah. This is a bit unclear where it comes from. The Shach seems to bring down the Shulchan Aruch the idea that we do not eat any animal unless we have a mesorah as to whether this animal is kosher or not. In other words, we can look at this animal and we say, yes, they are bekiim, they are sheikhtim, boikim, people who know, kosher v'tamidi chachomim, who know and identify this animal is kosher. You can't just be on a desert island and see some kind of strange looking animal that you've never seen before and say, yes, well, it's Male Geira, Mafis Parasa, and therefore it's kosher. No, we have to have a Masorah. So it's very unclear exactly where this Masorah comes from. By Oifus, there is a halacha, according to the Ramah, you have to have such a Masorah, and that's based on the Gemara in Chulin, where it says that there was a particular type of chicken, a town ago, a type of bird, which they always thought was a kosher bird, and one time they thought it was Doris, And any bird which is doyrus, it's a bird of prey, is not kosher. So they said, oh, it must be we're not so bucky anymore in determining which birds are doyrus or not, and therefore we need to have a mitzvah about birds. Now that's the halacha, that's clear regarding birds, that you can only eat a bird which has a mitzvah. But regarding behemoth, there seems to be an Indian according to some poskim, the shach, the chokmas adam, the chazan ish, that you can only eat an animal if it has a mesorah. So there's a shayla, a very big shayla in halacha, whether we eat animals only with a mesorah, without a mesorah, where does mesorah apply? Is it only in litter, where the chayodim said it, chokmas adam said it, or even outside as well? So this is the Indian of the simonim that Noach learned. Rashi tells us, lomad mishal lomad Noach Torah, the simonim to be identified kosher animals.